Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday will be taken from Ephesians, so as you know my tradition, please remain seated. It's not a gospel text, it's a teaching text. And by no means do I think that I'm an expert in this area. The one thing that you need to realize about a preacher that often we forget when we see someone in the pulpit is, yes, they do preach above what they are. And the day that I stop preaching above what I am, that day I wish that I stepped down. In other words, we preach Jesus Christ in His perfection, and I in the flesh will never obtain that. In the Spirit, by His will, yes. So when you hear me preach, and when you hear this message that is sensitive to many of us, don't think I have it all figured out. This text is a very powerful text used at actually a lot of wedding ceremonies, and I felt very strong to preach about it. I feel that in America and in our nation or in our even in this county or in our church that there's a lot of struggles with marriages. And I think it's something that oftentimes we have a tendency to ignore. We have this understanding oftentimes that the pulpit is for the proclamation of the gospel only, and I agree that that's what it's for. And in and through this, I pray that we hear that gospel message. But there is still oftentimes opportunities to teach. And if someone would not like me to preach on a subject like this and think I should do it in a different setting, then let's do that. Let's have another seminar. Let's do something. But until then, this being said, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 14 through 33. I'm going to read this in Jesus' name. Wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing and the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it, cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. There is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, boy, do we need you. In the understanding of men and the fallenness of the flesh, we have no understanding of the true unity of marriage. But yet you give us example upon example. And oftentimes, Father, in our own selfishness and our own ways, we ignore. But yet we ask, Father, by the inspiration of your Spirit, that you would speak, that you would allow us to understand and to know the gift of marriage that you have given to us. We ask, Father, that you would sanctify us in the truth, and that you, Father, would reveal to us that your word is always truth, whether we like it or not. In Jesus' name, amen. To say that an individual would not be nervous is a joke. To preach on something so holy as marriage. And I was sitting here and I was debating, Lord, why? Why would you tell me to speak on something like this? Why did it come to me in the beginning of the week, and now at the end of the week I was wishing that I didn't pick this text? And then I wondered, was it my own difficulty or my own flesh coming in the way? And then Brother Mark, long ago, picks those songs. And think about it. That there would be the family song, dealing with the aspect of family. And then also, then the next song is about being a servant, that let me be Christ to you. That we would serve one another. And I think that is an interesting point when it comes to America and marriages right now. I feel that we're all guilty in reality of becoming selfish, of turning around and saying that we are marrying somebody because they make me happy. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? To turn around in life and say, I found someone that appeals to me and that looks good to me and also makes me smile. But the fact of it is what happens? What happens after a little time wears on the individual and they might not appeal so much? What happens when age takes over and the looks aren't exactly where they used to be? What happens when you live long enough together to see each other's inconsistencies and difficulties? In other words, marriage is much more than just being pleased in the flesh. In other words, physically or even in my wants and needs. And this is something that we don't often want to face. There are times that I know that my wife, in fact, I know my wife loves me continuously. But there are times when she doesn't like me. Because I can be quite the bonehead. And the reality of it is we all experience those things in our lives, do we not? See, what we're dealing with here is we're taking two imperfect people and we're trying to blend them together in one life. And this is a difficulty and a struggle for a lot of us. And so when we don't get what we want in America, we go somewhere else. If we're dealing in business and we find a customer or find a provider of a product that we want, we tell them, fine, we'll take it. But as soon as they stop meeting my terms, we're done with them. We go to somebody else. Doesn't matter if they're having problems with their facility. We're going to somebody else. We're not going to work with you. We carry that same understanding oftentimes in marriage. When the other significant other, the other partner, may be going through issues and they can't provide for our needs, we have a tendency to look elsewhere. And in this day and age, we definitely have a lot of avenues, don't we? We have the business world where we can engross ourselves fully into what we're doing in business. We have the computer world where we can find relief or tension relievers, as we think it, out there. We have so many different things that we can reach to instead of dealing directly with the problem. Are we willing to work with one another? See, oftentimes we think that we have this tendency to marry people just out of love. But the fact of it is, I think, in all honesty, marriage teaches us how to love. And we forget that. We forget that going through the difficulty and going through the struggle can be the very thing that draws us closer together if we look at it in the correct way. We can understand this with children, can't we? I know it's going to sound kind of stupid, but before Jethro, my oldest son, was ever born, I didn't love him. I didn't know him. But yet when God blessed me with Jethro, what has taken place in my life? Then I've grown and learned to live with him. And even though he can be difficult at times, I still love him because he's my flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. It's the same in marriage. To understand that marriage itself is not going to be perfect just because we love one another, but actually quite oftentimes through the difficulties and through the struggles, we can learn to love more. Marriage is a great understanding of even our relationship between God the Father and us. That He loves us in spite of our foolishness. He loves us continually. And so when we look at this text, he turns around and he says, now, he says, anything that is brought out to the, is made visible, is brought to the light, is really what he's saying here. He says, therefore, And it seems like Paul is actually quoting more of a hymn of the time, back more probably towards a baptism hymn. He says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Christ shall shine on you." See? In other words, wake up and see what's going on. Face in reality the issues. Face what's going on in your life, and Christ will give you that endurance. Christ will carry you forward. He says, "And look carefully how you walk." Do you know how important your marriage is? Your marriage is so extremely important. Your children are watching. We turn around and we tell our children, "I want you to live this way and this way and this way," and then we do what we want. Oftentimes I tell my children how to live, but then I often in the flesh live in selfishness and then say, "Don't do it." Oh, I remember the words of my father. He told me, "Do as I say, son, not as I do." Well, it doesn't work that way. Because in reality, God has blessed us with these children. He has given us the ability to raise them up, and they are looking to us. May we take our eyes off of our individual selves, and may we allow our eyes to be fixated on the marriage that God has given us in Jesus Christ, that center cord that holds it together. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk." He says, "And don't walk as the foolish people, those without a hope, those with no understanding." He says, "But walk as the wise that are founded in Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, your marriage, my marriage, cannot make it without Him. I know what a piece of work I can be. I know in reality the struggles that I've put my wife through. But are you willing to open your eyes? And are you willing to see that we have all fallen in certain places? Who in reality am I to hold a finger to somebody else? You know how the saying goes, there's three more pointing back at me. When it comes down to the understanding of marriage, it's not about my will and what I want, but rather about the will of God and what He desires for us. He says, "Don't walk as those unwise people." He says, "Make the best of the time." He says, because in reality, you're coming down to the closing season. It's so true. See, we think the closing season is just the end of the world. The consummation of time. The closing season is even in our own life. God has given us a helpmeet. Where one is weak, the other will be strong. And life is closing in on us, this earthly life. To be blunt with you, do we really want to waste it in courts? Do we want to waste it deciding who gets what? Or are we willing to stop and ask God, "What do you want out of this? What is your will for our lives? What is your will for our marriage? God, how can we glorify you? Yes, my husband is an idiot. Yes, my wife does goofy things and spends money where she shouldn't. But God, how can we cure this?" I know we don't like blunt talk. I know we don't like to be confronted. But tell me, which one of you has had a husband here that hasn't done a goofy thing? We all have. In other words, these earthly struggles oftentimes fog our vision. And we forget to ask God, "How can you use this circumstance to glorify you and to glorify your kingdom? You have given us this individual." And so he turns around, he says, "Don't walk as those foolish people." He says, "Use the best of your time," he says, "because the days are of evil." He says, "Don't," he says, "go forth in this foolishness." He says, "But understand what God wants." He says, "Understand the will of the Lord." What does God want? Why are you in the situation you're in? Why is your marriage either at the standstill or at the pinnacle? How can this bring honor and glory to God? How can we use this, the most key thing within the Bible, to describe our relationship to God is marriage. But yet oftentimes, we don't do that. We treat it separately. He He says, what is the will of God? He says, don't get carried away with wine. Don't get drunk with wine. He says, because actually, that's debauchery. Do you know how many people turn from dealing with their issues into these areas? We have wine here, and that's fine. But we could use anything else. Drugs, pornography, whatever else it may be. What are we turning to? Instead of working on our issues, instead of dealing with the things at hand, what are we turning to? Are we walking as the foolish? Are we standing up as the righteous in Jesus Christ, understanding that we can get through these things, that we are more than conquerors through Him that has loved us? He says, don't turn to these other things. He says, because that's reckless. Reckless behavior. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Seek from Him. Seek from Him. He says, now turn around. He says, instead of start criticizing each other and ripping each other down or going to different areas, he says, actually address each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with the Lord with all your heart. In other words, turn and worship Him. Seek from Him. Receive of those good spiritual gifts from Him that you may be able to build this up. He says, always giving thanks for everything. And this is what we miss. Do you hear what he says here? Paul tells us very plainly, giving thanks always and for everything, the good, bad, and the ugly. How many times have you given thanks for a tough situation? I know there's countless occasions where I've done things or my wife's done things to offend us, but yet dealing with them through the Scripture, dealing with them through the Spirit, praying to God, sometimes together, sometimes apart, but have always brought us closer together. He says, bring it all to Him. He says, give thanks for everything. He says, to the God the Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is where we get to the key point of this text. Apostolic Lutherans, they oftentimes love to take this and bring out this one verse. Actually, that's the next verse. But they miss this verse. That's what I want to tell you. We miss this verse. Verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Understanding who we are in Jesus Christ. Understanding what He has done for us. What He has given to us. What He has called us to be. That we would submit to one another. Be in subjection to one another. This is where I was going with this. A lot of the conservative church turn around and say, okay, this is the beginning of our text, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's a good one. And they leave it there. See, there wouldn't be any problems in this world if you women would just learn to submit. That's not what it says. Taking it in full context, he tells us first, submit to one another. Be willing to serve one another. Come into subjection of one another. Are you willing? And actually, for any men that would turn around and read verse 22 and get all excited, do you realize that's basically what he tells the women? The rest is about the men? That yes, there is more responsibility as the stronger vessel. Yes, we have more responsibility to be the head of the house. Doesn't mean we rule with authority. But actually, as the Scripture shows, and even as Paul will go into, that we would be as Christ and rule with love and grace, mercy. How often do you husbands show that to your wives? How often do you put your business above your wife? How often do you put your children above your wife? How often do you put your favorite pickup truck above your wife? Or maybe your biggest financial investment? And what would those things mean to you without your wife? Be lonely, wouldn't it? He says, turn around and submitting to one another out of reverence or respect for Jesus Christ, understanding who you are, that we are committed to each other. And then he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And he gives an order here. In other words, now, he is, as that song says, a representative of Christ. Now, if your husband isn't representing Christ, then I don't think in those areas you need to submit to him. Maybe I'm wrong. Someone will have to correct me. But the fact of it is, he says, as unto the Lord. And if these are areas that the Lord would not bring you in, then I don't believe you're an obligation in that. But yet, if you have true love one for another and you're founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ, shouldn't our aim, shouldn't our goal be one? And so he turns around and he says, now, submitting one to another out of fear, as the reverence of Christ, he says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. See? We like to take that one again. I told you I was the boss. My wife has an answer for that. She says, I wear the pants in the family. She just tells me which ones to wear. I always say that, you know, in reality, I'm the head of the house. She's the neck that turns the head. It is teamwork. But when we turn around and we see this head of the house, oftentimes we take it as the authority. I'm going to say what we're going to do and not do. But actually, what did Jesus Christ do for the church as the head? Did he turn around and say, well, now I'm going to protect myself and make sure all my pleasures are taken care of, make sure all my needs are taken care of? Is that what Jesus Christ did? Absolutely not. He surrendered everything for the church. He gave everything for the church. He met the church's need on every whim. He even washed, in reality, the disciples' feet. Even Judas, who betrayed him. Men, are you doing that? Are you stepping up to the plate and are you loving your wife? Are you serving her in that fashion? Or are you too busy worried about what you're going to get out of the deal? I'm often that man. In my flesh, I'm often that man where I turn around in reality and say, I'm not doing that because you know what? It's a 50-50 deal. And that woman's been doing 48%. I'm not doing anymore. So then we turn around in our charismatic stage and we say, oh no. We got to get more religious about this. It's a 100-100 deal. She puts in 100%, I put in 100%. Man, I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. It's 100% zero. You love your wife 100%, even if you get nothing. Jesus Christ loved the church 100%, even when we were stabbing him with a spear. Where is your love? Why are we so stinking selfish? Because we want what the flesh wants. And we lose sight of what God has given us. And we are called to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. And if you love your wife 100% zero, I promise you this. She will submit unto you. Because she will see your dedication and your love. We're living in a generation that turns around and says, I want what I want, and when I get it, then you'll get some. We are called to be the head of the house. You want to be the head of the house? Then step up. Be the head. Stop turning around and saying, when I get what I want, I'll do my job. Do your job. Love that woman, and she will love you back. Are there difficult women out there? Absolutely. I know there are. But it doesn't give you the right to ignore your responsibility. What is first and foremost in your life? We like to say Jesus Christ, but in the flesh, that's often not it. It's often our business. It's often our material things. But yet Christ calls us men to stand up and to love our wives as he did the church. And he emptied himself of everything for that church. Are we willing to do the same? I've seen a few individuals do this. I have a very good friend that has gone through an extreme difficult struggle. And I've watched him love his wife, what I would call unconditionally. She's gone through issues in her life where she's had these great struggles and turmoil in her life, and she hasn't been a pleasure to live with. And yet he's loved her and loved her. And I remember she came to me not long ago wondering if she would ever stay with this guy or not. And she came to me straightforward and she said, how could I ever leave him? He has loved me through all my craziness. That's unconditional love. It's not about four-wheelers. It's not about new pickup trucks. It's not about building a new business. Our relationship on this earth that we have joined into by covenant is the most precious relationship that we will ever have. Are we willing to love? Unconditionally. And when we do that, will we also see the great rewards? The husband is the head, and he is called to this position. So the wife should submit. And I say, if he's doing his job right, we'll submit unto the man, because he is as the Savior. He says, now as the church and saints to Christ, so should the wives submit to everything in their husbands. And now I want you to think about this, those that would take this in a conservative. See, it's telling you to submit again. But Jesus Christ did not make us submit unto law. It wasn't by law. It was by the gospel and grace. Do we love? Are we walking into the home saying, well, I'm the man of the house, and this is going to be the way it's going to be, and that's it. You ain't got nothing to say about it. Or do we enter into the house with the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the good news, and say, this is how it will be. May we endure together. May we take this path together. It's not a rulership, a dictatorship. It's a union. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ had changed the rules? All right, here I am on earth. Came down to see you guys. You're all a bunch of sinners. Either do it my way or you're going to burn. My way or the highway, dude. Do it or burn. I'd be toast. But he didn't do that. He came to this earth. He submitted unto the death of the cross so that I may have life. He has turned around and he has said to the wives, you also mimic this. You submit unto your husband because he is going to pay the price for you. As the head of the house, he will protect you. He will provide. He will guide. And he will defend. He will love you unconditionally. We've lost sight of what marriage is in America. We've turned it into more of a corporation or a business deal. And that is sad. We've turned around and we've said we're going to love because we're going to marry because of love. And we miss the fact that actually marriage teaches us love. And yes, difficult marriages, they in reality stink. But handled in the right way, they can teach you to love more, and they honestly can teach you to love God all the more. Difficult marriages are hard, no doubt about it. My wife has one. But one thing I'll say about my wife is she is a prayer warrior. If I've done anything, I've taught her to pray. That was a joke. But the fact of it is, even through difficult marriages, we can learn to pray. We can learn to reach out. And so these things are tools in our lives. If we use them correctly, they could actually help glorify the kingdom of God. They could help glorify even our own families. They could help our children grow and understand that anything, anything worth having is worth working for. We understand what the scripture says, that gold is worth nothing until it's tried by the fire. And that is the same with a marriage. And if you think that you can walk away from this marriage and go into another one and think you got it all figured out, guess what? It'll be just as bad. Because you're going to bring half of the goofiness with you. If we don't deal with the problems at hand, we will never, in reality, know what true love is. And true marriage is. Now, yes, there are circumstances. There are difficulties. There are those individuals that have not had a choice and been brought through this process. They've lost the significant other because one has given up. But what this is a plea for is not to give up. That both of you, that there is equal responsibility, if you say on one hand, but I say all the more responsibility on the men. Because it's called out in Scripture to do your part. To love, to encourage, to cherish, to protect, to guide. And wives, to lift up, to build up, to encourage your husband. Do you know it's actually a fact that if a wife kisses a husband before he leaves for work in the morning, he makes like 25% more money? It's true. So it's good for you to encourage him. These are the things that we miss when we stop communicating. Do you think that your marriage is the only one that's bad? Do you think because I'm so vocal about it, my marriage is the only one that struggles? No. There's not a single marriage in this room that doesn't go through difficulties. Oh, I've heard the couples, we've never argued once in our lives. Well, then you don't let your wife talk. That's foolishness. I'd like to know what she's really thinking. And so when we come to this point, he says now, do this, love each other, encourage each other. And then he comes to this point, he says, now, husbands, love your wife as Christ has loved the church. He's speaking here of a sacrificial love. Because he says, as Christ even gave himself up for the church, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her through the watering and the word. And we don't have time to get into that because I'm running out of time. But the fact of it is, I think it's kind of interesting. Yes, he is speaking very spiritually about what Christ has done for the church. But let me ask you this, husbands. How many times have you sanctified your wife through word? Versus how many times have you torn her down by your words? We have these sayings all the time in life. Oh, I just let it go one ear out the other. That's not true. It never goes in one ear and out the other. It bounces around in that head and it keeps churning until finally it comes out through vomit of verbiage. We say sticks and stones may break my bones, but or something like that, and words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words hurt. So I think that we need to sanctify our women and sanctify our children and sanctify our families through word of encouragement, not rip them down. He says also in the same way, he says husbands should love their wives as their own body, understanding that we are joined together. It's a spiritual mystery, no doubt about it, but two flesh have become one. When you rip down your wife, you are ripping down yourself. When you degrade your wife, you're degrading yourself. My wife sits there sometimes and she tells me these struggles that she has in life, and she tells me how she doesn't like this about herself or this about herself. And one day I finally got ticked and I was like, shut up! She's like, what? That is my wife that you're talking about. That is the one that I love and that I cherish. If any man on the street talked like that, I'd deck him. To understand that our words would edify and encourage, that we would build each other up. He says, love as your own body, because he who loves his wife loves himself. There is no separation. This is your responsibility. Men, if you've walked away from your marriages, this is what you've walked away from. For no one have hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, takes care of it, just as Christ does the church. Christ continually serves the church. We even see it through the breaking of the body and the bread, the blood and the bread. We see it in communion, that he continually provides. We may also continually provide, that we would encourage. Do you encourage? Do you uplift? Or do you tear down? Do you realize the treasure that you have been given? Or are you looking to the external world, engaging what it is? He says, because we are all members of this body. And then he says, for this benefit then, the man will leave his father and mother and he will cleave to the wife. Do you understand that? Isn't it quite interesting? Because it says the woman is the weaker vessel. So if you think someone's going to cleave, it would be her. But yet the scripture says very plainly, no. She is going to be there and you're going to cleave to her. Men, break down your pride. Realize the treasure that you have and embrace that treasure. And you will have more than you ever dreamed of. Love the one that God has blessed you with and you will receive so much. It doesn't say that the woman will drop down to her knees and beg the man and cleave to him. It says that the man will leave his father and mother and will cleave to that woman. Are we too proud? He says, this is all a mystery. He says, and I'm talking about Christ and the church, how this has been joined together. But it's an ultimate mystery even how he has joined men and women together. Two imperfect people to make one life. Tell me, can we do it without him? Like I said, I am not an example of this. Trust me. But I know who is. And that is Jesus Christ himself. May we take and look at Christ in our marriages. And may we encourage one another. And may we submit to one another. And may we love our wives as Christ did the church. He says, this is what I want you to come to the main point. Let each one of you love his wife as himself. And wives, that she would respect her husband. Do you give him respect? When he comes home from work, do you respect him and respect what he has done? Granted, we're in a generation where a lot of you women work, and I appreciate that so much. But sometimes we use that as a battling card too. Well, I work just as hard as you. Okay, here we are. Competition again. Marriage is not a competition. It's like these good old boys that turn around and decide they're going to start a business. So they go in a business in themselves, and they go down to Superior National Bank, and they borrow $100,000, and there's two of them. So next thing you know, they're taking the money out of the bank as fast as they can because the other guy might get it. But in the end, they're both bankrupt. It's not a competition. This is a union. Take it for what it is, a covenant, a promise before God. Love your wives. Respect your husbands. And you will have a peaceable life. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us unite our hearts.